June 6, 1944, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And as someone who was, the top military official in the United States, give us some perspective on what D-Day means to you and for our nation.
Well, it may have been, probably was, the most important event of the 20th century in terms of ensuring our freedom. Forces at work at that time were powerful, and they were conquering most of Europe, and they were headed to Britain. And the United States joined the effort and stemmed the tide along with the Allies of that effort to enshroud us all in darkness. It took a generation of Americans that were totally selfless, dedicated to the mission, and many of whom we know died or were badly wounded. It took great leadership, and we're just down the road from Abilene, where the Eisenhower Museum and Library reside. And it took that kind of leadership, the kind of leadership that we saw from General Eisenhower, to stem that tide. And I think all of us that are listening to K-Man this morning, probably most of us are Kansans, and we ought to take a lot of pride in a young man from Abilene went off to West Point, served his country really well up until the 1940s when he was told he was going to stay in Washington and do war planning while all his colleagues and peers were going to Europe to get these wonderful commands of big army units. And the kind of guy he was he had some great humility, and he said, "I'd rather be over there with a combat command, but if this is where I'm supposed to be doing this planning, I'll stay here." And then lo and behold, the president nominated him to be, or made him the Supreme Allied Commander. And so he goes to Europe, and he commands that operation, and again, with a great sense of humility. And when you think back, what is, our 75th anniversary coming up here Thursday, I mean, they didn't know how that was going to work out. They did not know. They had a plan, and they probably had Plan B and Plan C, but they didn't know for sure. And the fact that it worked out, I think, is a testament to the leadership of people like General Eisenhower, but also and primarily of the young American men and women who participated in that event and made it happen.
Would you consider the strategy that was in play for D-Day one of the greatest military accomplishments in the history of the world?
Surely. Just the logistics of moving that many people across really well-defended beaches, getting a toehold, and then moving forward. Yes, I mean, in that day and age, just the logistics of that movement were enormous. Nothing, I don't think, had been attempted quite like that, ever.
Could a similar military operation even be considered in today's day and age if a situation where you have a threat along the lines of, whether it be the Nazis or, there's concerns with China and North Korea, the commitment that Americans have made to, preventing that invasion of the Nazis, is that something that could be replicated today?
With enough preparation, probably. You think about our United States Navy. Under President Reagan, we were headed towards the goal was 600 combat ships. Today, less than 300 combat ships. So, and if you look at the Army or you look at the United States Air Force, Marine Corps, we're all a lot smaller than the numbers of World War II. So if it's a matter of numbers or a matter of lots of ships, it would take some preparation to do something of that magnitude. My own opinion is that we might have to do something like that. We got to be prepared to do something like that. But we have technology today that would allow us to do things perhaps differently. And maybe it wouldn't be a frontal assault on a beach that was highly defended. Maybe we'd have other things we could do. And I'll just offer you one example. Today, the weapons that are released out of Air Force and Navy and Marine Corps airplanes, most of them are what we call precision-guided weapons. In World War II, there were no precision-guided weapons. They were all, you dropped a lot of them to hope to get to the target, and often didn't get to the target, often did, but just as often didn't. Today, if you have a target with a precision-guided weapon, you can strike it. Sometimes you have to be, you can be right on top of that target. Sometimes you can be miles away, avoiding air defenses. So I think the nature would be different. I'm not sure we'd be in a situation where we were forced to do that, but that was the 1940s. Technology, I mean, the airplane was just coming into its own as part of your tool of war. It really relied more heavily on the person on the ground and the pilots in the air being strong and on ships being strong themselves. They didn't have a lot of technology to work with. They had to use their ingenuity and their courage. And that'll still be required in the future, but as I think about that day on D-Day, I think about all those individuals that had to use their American ingenuity and their courage and their sense of helping their buddy to get across that beach. At the event this coming Thursday at the Eisenhower Museum, I'm told there are going to be 60 to 70 World War II veterans, most of whom will be in their 90s. And I don't think there's any way we can adequately express our gratitude for the fact that they answered the call and they went either to the Pacific or to Europe.
Africa.
I mean, it's just, and left their families and for sometimes years and gave it their all. And we are so thankful. We're sitting here. We can say whatever we want to say. It's the United States of America. It's the First Amendment. There was just a blurb on TV this morning about Tiananmen Square, because today is the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. Most of us remember that, I think, or if you're around at the time. The Chinese are trying to erase that whole event from the memories of the Chinese people. They had a reporter going around in Beijing asking young Chinese, do you remember Tiananmen Square? Do you remember what happened there? And they have these puzzled looks. They've never heard of it. We enjoy the kind of freedoms that I think are going to allow us to be not only economically prosperous for a long time, but the kind of culture where men and women can be free. And there's nothing that incentivizes innovation and creativity like being free.
What are some of the biggest points that you will be making in your remarks in Abilene on Thursday?
Two main themes. One will be talking about the character of General Eisenhower, and two will be saying words of gratitude towards those veterans that are sitting there at that particular event, and try not to be too long. Those veterans have to sit. They've sat through a lot of speeches, and the last thing they want to do is hear some young whippersnapper talk to them about their exploits. You know, that generation had a great deal of humility too. They didn't come back beating their breastplates about what they accomplished. But that generation was the generation that pretty much raised me as teachers or coaches and so forth, or university professors here. That generation has meant so much to this country. The GI Bill came out of that, and a lot of them went and got a college education. I mean, if you talk about a generation that had a huge impact on this country, that's the generation that will be sitting there in front of us. And I don't know how you adequately thank them for that. And at the time, they probably didn't realize the impact they were having. But as you look back, they guaranteed everything that we have, they guaranteed it. And willing to guarantee it with their life.
President Richard Myers, appreciate you taking some time to visit with us about one of the most historic days in the history of not just our nation, but in the world. So appreciate you taking some time and offering your perspective this morning here on KMAN.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.